are steady. And like I said, this week we have a steady. So okay, we have a steady, so I'm gonna take it more systematic. You know, when I was in Bible school, they gave us a course, they called the course Systematic Theology. And they gave us a big book to go read, which we tried to, but we couldn't systematically finish systematic theology. But that's what we're going to be doing this morning, is that we're going to be taking it pretty much slower. And then I trust God that understanding will come as we go. And I've always said that. I have always been on the search for how I could have constant faith for all seasons. And I wasn't exactly getting the answer, you know, but while I was meditating on God's word, there was a material that I stumbled on. I mean, at that time, years back, and there was something that was said, it was actually by E.W. Kayon. And, you know, he made a statement of faith, real faith, being found in understanding the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, which we can call, according to 1 Corinthians 15, the gospel. So I said, you know, continuing my studies. Now, I had seen amazing things happen. I remember one time, I met somebody who was deaf and dumb. Who was deaf, actually. That was about 6 years ago. Or 7 years ago. Or maybe even 8 years ago. No, 7 years ago. And I remember taking him home. And telling my mom, I said, "Mommy, I can open the guy's ears." And my mom, you know, as very interesting as she would be, she now started ranting. "How can you meet somebody by the road? You bring him home, you say you can't open the ears. Where did you meet him from?" I said, "Oh, I really don't know where he's from. So how did you meet him?" I said, "Oh, I really don't know." Because at that time, I'd already seen somebody who had a partial difficulty in the ear. Maybe 2 years prior to that, getting healed in a meeting. So I told my mom that she should see. I can do it. I just wanted her to see that I could open. How many of us were at Ivandi? The boy is still healed till today. We got into a meeting after evangelism, and he came in with hearing aids. He couldn't hear. He's healed till today. So I met him right there at Ivandi. That was how many? Last year? 2 years? Yeah. Just met him there, had hearing aids. And I asked him, I said, "Well, it depends on you, but you could get healed." So he said, "He can't really." So I said, "Oh, we can get those ears healed." So I asked him, I said, "When do you want to be healed?" I think he had some people around who told him that, "Hey, say today, right now." So he said, "Today, In fact, we met him a few days back, actually. Yeah. So he said, today he could barely hear. Barely hear. And I'm serious when I say barely hear. So I remember just putting my hand in his ears. And I spoke to those ears and they popped open. He could hear right from there. Yeah. So I remember we went for a camp meeting. A camp. And a few of the ladies were running to my room. They ran to my room. Pastor, I said, what is it? Then they now said that, Pastor, I don't want to mention his name. He was going to be in church today. And he said, Pastor, he said he can really hear. So when they told me he said he can really hear, I was shocked. Because I told them that he could hear. So it means that they didn't really believe me. You know, they didn't really believe me. You know, so they said, Pastor, he can really hear. I spoke to him. And there was no cameras. I see miracles like that. There are no cameras. There's not anything. And you get healed. So I said, so when they were excited, looking at me, hoping I was also going to get excited with them. But then when they were done, I said, you guys didn't really believe when I said he was really healed. That means you had to wait for a couple of days to actually verify that he was healed. So I took note of them. I said, this... these people, they cannot be... So like, help my unbelief. You know, so... when I say I've seen miracles, I have seen miracles. And I want to make you know that, of course, by the grace of God. But then, with all of these, I was still looking for, you know, that thing that makes it 100% complete. You know, there's a time where you say, no, I think at this time, I want it 100%. That means not a failure. You know, you can have like 9 people, then one person is not really healed. And you're wondering, okay, what's going on? Or 8 out of 10. But I said, no, this time, we're going to go for 10 on 10. But getting very well knowing or knowledgeable that it really does not depend on me all the time. Because it depends on the person who is listening and who has to receive what I have to say. But then, like I said, you know, something happens. And you're like, let me find my Bible. It means that where is the faith that you had for that last miracle? So we're looking at faith for all seasons. And this is what I want to teach you. That's what I'm telling you. If you sleep in these sessions, like, I'm just going to be teaching you like this. So if you sleep, you are sleeping on your feet. All right, so we're looking for faith, or we're looking at faith for all seasons. Not faith for sometimes. Not faith for a moment where we are collectively expressing faith. Not faith when things are good. But then, another thing is bad. And you're wondering, what is happening? And as we look into this, that's what we're going to cut through. Carefully, cut through carefully, and then light will come, right? And then you're going to see yourself walking in this reality in all seasons. Now, why faith? Why are we looking at faith? Of course, because you cannot be saved without faith. You cannot live for God without faith. Because the just is going to live by faith. By grace you are saved through faith. Because not of yourselves that any man should boast. You can't walk the Christian life without faith. For our walk with God in itself is by faith. In times where the devil has fiery darts thrown at you, if your shield of faith is not swift and strong, you'll find those fiery darts piercing you. So it means you cannot even stop the devil without faith. You cannot fulfill the ministry God has given to you without faith. You even cannot grow without faith. You can't even please God without faith. You know, that's one of the things that gets me saying, you need to really take this faith thing seriously. Because sometimes I say, Lord, I'll do everything you want me to do. Then a situation comes where you're supposed to like really get up and use your faith, saying, Lord, that's when you now crumple down. Right? You can't even please God without faith. You know, there was a time I remember God telling me, you know, I don't know in what exact words he spoke to me. I can't tell you he spoke to me in a phrase like exactly, but I sensed his voice to me. You know, there was a time something happened and I was just kneeling down and I was saying, Lord, please help me. Lord, you know, you need to really have to show up. Yeah, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. So I could sense his voice welling up like, stop that. You know, when he tells you, stop that, like, you're walking out of faith. You're in unbelief. Stop that. I've had him tell me some time back, stop that. Why stop that? So some of you want to really please God, right? He's pleased when he sees you walking in faith. But by faith, no man can please him. Those that come to him must come that he is. He is. He is. He is. He is. And that he is a reward of them that diligently seek him. So even you're pleasing him. You know, when he sees you walking in faith, he says, wow, that's my boy. Now, the world will say you brag, right? No, he doesn't say that. No, he doesn't say that. So, as we delve into these conversations, of course, they are going to bless you. And boy, that's why as a church we need to feed along these lanes as frequent as possible. Because if you don't, you're going to become a morsel of bread. You know a morsel of bread? A piece of bread. The devil will put you in his mouth. You know, a demon is going to meet a fellow demon and say, hombre, too much. What a call. Obia, obia, obia. No hombre, no hombre, too much. Oh, where obia, 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 to mission you be. What a call. So it's like, for those of you who don't understand what I'm saying, I don't know when I started speaking to you, I promise you. I promise you. You know, I was working with a dear brother today. He said that, I've never heard you sing a tree song except yesterday and today. I really don't speak to you. But normally, I just want something to, you know, diversify the English. Small. Yeah, like everybody whips this one. So it's easy. You go. Maybe a demon meets a fellow demon coming down from Commonwealth Hall. So wait there. No, I'm So you become a muscle of bread. You're just going to be you're going to be bread. So take what I'm saying seriously, yeah? Okay, so we took some time laying out some good emphasis for our discussion. We are getting into the discussion, actually. We have not gotten into it. We're getting into it. So we laid some good emphasis on the fact that every truth established is going to be established by two or three witnesses, right? We saw that in Deuteronomy. We saw Jesus quotes that in Deuteronomy 19 as well. And we also saw Paul make reference to that as well. So we said that truth is going to be comfortably seated on two or three witnesses. So let's just say two or three witnesses. So you cannot have truth just on one witness. In fact, if truth was just established on one witness, everybody is going to be in trouble. Because the moment you rise up and you say something about the person, that means everybody assumes it's true. But truth is not established on just the witness. We're going to have to see other witnesses that confirm to us truth. So in this case of our study, we were looking at truth being established on the law, right? Then we see the prophets passingly through the Psalms, right? Then in the Gospels, then we see it in the Epistles. So if we're going to have truth established, we're going to have them at least firmly established on the law. We're going to have to see it in the law. The beginning, the Torah, the first five books, right? Then we see it in the prophets, passingly in the Psalms, the prophets, then the Gospels, then the Epistles. So any matter that we have to thoroughly pay attention to, we would have to see a number of witnesses from all of these sides. Then we can have strong structure on which we can stand. Do you understand what I'm saying? So our foundational scripture was Mark chapter 11. Pay attention. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. Mark chapter 11. And we said that to look carefully at what Jesus said in the 22nd and 23rd chapter, which is more like our foundational scripture for our conversation, we have to see it in context. Do you understand? We have to see it in context. So we said that in Mark chapter 11, verse 22 and 23, and Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Then he moves on to say, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall doubt not in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. Now we said that in that statement, there's a background communication. We saw that last week. We're taking our time. We're going to see it again. Shortly. We said that there was a fig tree illustration. Then Jesus moves into the temple. Do we remember? So we saw that the fig tree he saw was not bearing any fruit. And he looked at the fig tree and he spoke to the fig tree. No one eat of you. Again. Then right after he gets into the temple, he sees the temple in disarray. He sees the temple in confusion. He sees the temple in chaos. And then he moves on to exercise quite some authority over the temple. But then in John's account, he makes reference to the fact that he will bring down the temple and he will build it up in 3 days, right? So we saw the fig tree. We said the fig tree symbolized barren Israel, right? So Israel that he saw in the fig tree was barren. I'm going to give you some time. Go to Hosea. Hosea. Are you in Hosea? Kindly make sure that one sitting next to you is in Hosea. Okay. Now see, Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9. Hosea chapter 9, verses 10. He says, I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your fathers as the first ripe in the what? Fig tree. So we see that Israel is symbolic of what? The fig tree. Pay attention. We're going to be looking at it like this. Israel symbolizes the fig tree according to the prophet. We also said that Jesus and the temple represents what he's doing in the earth, right? What he's doing. So he represents his will for the earth and his will for man. Now we say both of these things are not consistent with the plan of God. The fig tree is not consistent with the plan of God because he expects us to bear what? Fruits. The temple in disarray, in chaos, is also not consistent with the plan of God. He calls that temple, actually, in a few verses in Mark 11, a house of prayer and not a den of thieves. So he's saying that what I see here is in utter confusion. It's in chaos. It's scattered. It's unsettled. It has lost its appropriateness. It's messed up. So we see that his will in there is not functional. Do we see that? Both the fig tree, which is a symbol of Israel, the people, and his temple, all of them all, not in their right shape, not in their right place. So Jesus then now says, pay attention. Peter now comes to him and says, hey, master, the fig tree which you spoke to has dried up. Then he now says, I mean, let's be serious here. If we're going to be paying attention to context, he spoke contextually in relation to the temple and the fig tree. Do you understand? Okay. So, Peter comes to him and says that the fig tree which you spoke to, you cursed, is withered away. Then Jesus answering and said unto him, have faith in God. Do we see the context for which it's been written? Okay. So he says, have faith in God. It means that Jesus, talking about faith in God, was towards something that God did not exactly desire. We're talking about the temple. We're talking about the fig tree. Together, the fig tree and the temple communicates his plan. So he's saying that, have faith in God. Have faith in God towards what? Yes, towards his will. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. It means that, Peter, my will stand. So, see it. Have faith in it. Have faith in God. That temple in a mess, which is not his will, he's saying that have faith in it. Now, he's speaking to the fig tree was judgment, right? Of course, it came to pass eventually. I said that was a miracle, obviously. It's a miracle, but it's just that it's not a good miracle. Do you see? When I say, die, then immediately you fall down in that. It's a miracle. Right? Let's put curse away. It's a miracle. Or it isn't. Yes. When you pray for someone who has cancer and the cancer goes, what you don't know is that you killed something. Yes. You took the life out of that thing. That's how come proliferate. Yes, that's the word. It does not proliferate. Cancerous words have specific words for metastasize. Does not expand. Does not increase. So you see that we say in the name of Jesus, every cancer cell dies. That's a miracle. It's like you have the opportunity to take life that stuffs out the life of people. That's also a miracle. Are you listening? So he's saying that for my plan, you will have it. How? He says, have faith in God. Now, just trying to take it calm. Peter will need to know what exactly is God's plan. Because faith was demonstrated strongly towards what was not his plan. So, in order to know what God's plan is, or in order to exercise faith, we will have to know what is his plan. Now, his plan is what he is doing on the earth. Are you listening? Great. So that's his plan. He's doing something on the earth. What is he doing? Then he now says, "For verily, verily, I say unto you." So he's communicating his plan. He says, "Have faith in God." Then he says, "Verily." Now let's look at that word "verily." The word "verily" is the word "aman." Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention. Is the word "aman." Aman. Now, aman is like the Greek word for amen. Say amen. So, pay attention. We're trying to unravel it. He says that, "Have faith in God, and I say faithfully to you." Have faith in God. Then he says, "I say faithfully to you." Look at verse 22 into verse 23. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Have faith in God, for verily I say." It means, "For faithfully I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, Have faith in God, for verily I say unto you," number one, "that whosoever shall say unto this mountain," so two says, right? He says, "Have faith in God." Towards what? Towards what is not my will, right? Then he now says, "For verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said." How many saith is that? Four says. He's now saying, "I say unto you that whosoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be what? Cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, and shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he what? He saith. He shall have whatsoever he dreameth about." He dreameth about. Okay, like when you dream about it, is that what is in the Bible? No. So, he shall have whatsoever he does what? He saith. So, it means that a very key expression of faith will be seen in what you say. In fact, you know, how do you know doubt is present in a place? Don't worry, doubt is... Doubt, when you want to know doubt is present in a place, just pay attention to words. That's how doubt is expressed. So whenever we have somebody walking in doubt, the person expresses it in their words. So while everybody says, "It's a possible thing to achieve, we're going to have it done," you say, "Oh, you know, but we really have to be careful, you know. Nowadays, that's how it is." So you're always going to see doubt expressed in words. That's how you diagnose doubt. So, when? Now, it means that if I'm going to walk more in faith, what am I going to do? I'm going to speak more. I'm going to have to speak more. So, Jesus is saying, "Verily I say unto you, He's saying unto them, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he said. So we're trying to just unravel the words in that. I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. But before that, he's saying, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Verse 22. Have faith in God. Now, the word faith there is the word pistis. P-I-S-T-I-S. It's a studio Sunday. So, we're going to be looking at it. Pistis. Now, that word faith there is a noun. It's a noun. And it's used to describe a thing possessed. That's why the writer of Hebrews says, it is the substance of the things hoped for. It's substance. It's possessed. So it's substantial. Now, faith exactly is not the action. Faith is the state of the person. Are you listening? All right. So when somebody has faith, you're going to see it in their state. Then he now says, verse 23, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Now the word believe there is the word pisteuo, P-I-S-T-E-U-O. So faith is pistis, believe is pisteuo. Right? Now, believe then becomes the verb of the noun. Okay? Believe now becomes what? The verb of the noun. So, believe means that you're going to be found what? Doing. Do you understand? So, faith is the substance, the state. It's not exactly the action. But then, when we find you in belief, it means you put what you have had faith in to work. Right? So, when we say things like, I believe God, it means I put to work what I have faith in. I express it. I express it. I exercise it. You know, sometimes you can be a Christian and, you know, E.W. Kenyon gives a very strong name to that. He calls that mental assent. It's like, you see, yes, the word of God is true, but in my case, it's really not exactly so. I believe every believer would have found themselves in that state. Like they try to show you the word, and then you say, nah. Yes, I believe, but nah. See, believe that God is going to do this. Can we believe God? Yeah, as for truth, yeah, it's like, it's not like I'm saying I doubt. But, so, mentally, it is true. But then when it gets to that point where you need to start to put it to work, then you start to falter. So, we must grow from that point where we have that mental assent, where we say, yes, we've seen it in Matthew, but it's not like that. We know there's Jehovah, you are the Most High. But when trouble comes, we say, you know, let's find our own way out of it. So we say, okay, yeah, it's true, but then it's not the case. that's having a mental ascent. Pastor, you know, you have really been preaching to us about this faith message. That's not going to be you in Jesus' name. But you see, I've seen that Paul healed the sick. Pastor, I saw you said I should read Acts, but Pastor, I know it's true. I'm not arguing. But Pastor. And there are many believers like that today. They believe that they have faith, sort of, they agree. Let me not say they agree that it is true. But when it comes to their own personal lives, let's not go there. So far we've looked at the word faithfully, right? Which is a man, right? So he tells him, have faith in God. Then he tells him, faithfully. Again, for those words as emphasis, we're going to do it the way Jesus did it. Let's look at Luke. Luke Luke chapter 24. I think Luke 24 verse 44. Are we on the same page? So this is Jesus, and we're going to look at those words carefully, right? We're going to look at the word believe, faith, verily, right? And we're going to look at that from the Old Testament. Remember that we said that truth is going to be established on some witnesses. So we can't just go into the conversation in Mark. We're going to have to go back, see it in the law, then we see it in the prophets, then we see it in the gospels, then we see it in the epistles. Then we can now say, we have to take this thing and we're walking in it, right? Okay, so in Luke chapter 24, just like Jesus will do, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Do we see that? The law of Moses, the prophets, and what? The Psalms. So, the things that were written in the law of prophets, the Psalms, and the prophets, right? They were concerning who? Okay, they were concerning Jesus, right? Okay, so we're going to take our time to see that clearly. Do you understand? So Jesus is saying that all of those things were concerning what? Me. Now look at verse 45. Then he opened their understanding that they may understand what? The scriptures. I said the scriptures there is what? Genesis to Malachi. I hope you don't forget. No, I think I don't have to skip it. Let's look at it. The scriptures there is Genesis to Malachi. We're going to see a number of scriptures or a number of gospel verses. Let me use it in the context which I'm communicating with you, right? So let's go to Matthew. Matthew chapter 21. I'm not going to skip it. Again, the scriptures is Genesis to Malachi. So he says Genesis to Malachi was written and it concerned him. Now, reasons why it concerned him, when I say it concerned him and his plan for the earth. Are you listening? So Christ and his will, it concerns him and what he's doing. Are you listening? See Matthew 21. We are looking at the word scriptures. Matthew 21. And we're going to read from verses 42. Now, you need this study. Are you listening to me? Don't say, I don't need it. You need it. Okay. So, Matthew 21, verse 42. Many of the times we like to just, we give you glory and the honor. Okay. There's time for that. Are you listening? Then there's also time for what we are doing. Huh? So, say, this is my Bible. I didn't read it to you today. And I believe it is the word of God. Okay, lift it up higher. Giving to guide. To teach. And transform my life. Say, I trust this truth. Knowing that. Every word in it is alive. Powerful and able to guide me. In righteousness. Say, I commit to reading. To meditating on it and obeying it, not as a mere book of stories, but as the living instruction of God Himself. Say, I declare, I will do all its commands, follow its principles, and honor God through obedience to His word. So it means everything I'm going to be teaching you, don't argue. Are you listening? Don't have mental assent. Oh, it's true, but no. You are the one saying that you believe in it. Are you not the one saying it? Or I'm letting you say it. So you're the one, right? So, like Jesus would do, we're going to look at it. But before that, I said we're going to see the use of the word scriptures. So in Matthew 21, verses 42. He says, Jesus said unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures? And I said, the scriptures is Genesis to Malachi. The stone which the builders rejected, the same is become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our sight. So he's actually not speaking about something you would think. You know, sometimes we could just pick this. The stone which the builders rejected. They rejected me in my house. No. So before you do that, right? Which is good, not wrong. Because you can get some good inspiration from that. But the Bible is a Christocentric material. It means it's Christ-centered. So pay attention to what the Bible says about that. Are you listening? Okay, so let's see Psalm 118. We're going to see that in the scriptures. I told you the scripture is Genesis to Malachi. So Psalm 118. Now, like I said, you can do that for inspiration, but after the inspiration, look at what the text is actually saying. Are you listening? So, Psalm 118, verse 22. Now, this is David, right? Can we read together as a church? The stone which the builders refused is become the head stone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our sight. So, what was he talking about in there? He speaks of himself. Are you listening? Before you apply it to you, which exactly is not you, he speaks to himself. Then later on you can say, yeah, then they've rejected me. The way they rejected him, right? The stone which the builders have rejected, it has become the chief cornerstone. See, now I have offices. Glory to God. So, but I want you to understand it clearly that he was not talking to you. But then you can gain inspiration from it, right? So, do we see a typical example of that? See Luke chapter 24. Who is lost? Like genuinely, you are lost. Just give me hi, hello. That's the kind of service we are in. Please, people of God. Okay, who like to, let me see, it's a nice way. Who like to see me after service? In context of being lost. Okay, Luke chapter 24. They don't want to lift up their hands so that they will say that they don't understand. But if I were you, I'll lift up my hands. So I'll have special attention for you. That's the kind of service, because I want everybody to get it. Don't want me to tell me that, Pastor, my mother is sick. Pastor, please come. Come and pray for her. You, what are you doing? You know, most of the times when people tell me that, please pray for me, I tell, have you prayed yourself? Say, hey, Pastor, I've prayed. So if you've prayed, what do you want me to do now? Sometimes I meet someone and say, Pastor, I'm sick. Please pray for me. And I quote them in scripture. I say, go and meditate on it and pray. I'll pray for you, but I want you to know how it's done, right? Yeah. Unless you are drowning, like, then now we have to bring you out. Like Peter, we don't have time to explain. So we bring you out, and then we say, why did you doubt? But first, we bring you out. We pull you out of the water. We pull you out first, right? But if you are not drowning, I mean, let's give you some time, right? So you can use your faith. Are you listening? So that when nobody is around, you're not going to pick your phone. Pastor is not picking my call. He's saying, no, in the name of Jesus. I know the will of God. Yes. Yes. One time someone was going to give birth. And then the person said, the child, the baby was not coming. I said, oh, this one. Yeah, you need other people praying for you and all. But if you are taught well, oh boy, it must come. I met, and she told me, I mean, she's the only one, so fortunately, she said, Pastor, the way I used my faith and I pushed, she told them that no razor, nothing like that, no razor, don't touch me. Yeah, she said that it was painful, it was not easy, but I was determined. Yes, but you said, Ajay! Say, cut. Take your seat. Okay. That was just to get you in the service. Anyway, Luke chapter 24. I'm not saying that is wrong. No. Sometimes it's legitimate, right? Legitimate for the natural. And the natural helps. It's just like, you know, paracetamol. No, don't be like that. I've taught you. Subscribe for something that is higher. Are you listening? Subscribe for something that's higher. Use your faith. Use your faith. Use your faith. When I say this, people think I'm exaggerating. I don't remember the last time I took medicine. Yes, I don't remember. Yes. You see, you think I'm lying to you. Because I always want to use my faith. Might be like always. Yeah. Back pain. You're going for Jibido. Ear pain. Say, put the ear. Put. Put in the ear. Jesus is merciful. He's merciful. He's actually merciful. Huh? Some of you have gastrum plus hidden comfortably in your chow box. Any list. 10 mil, 15 mil. Gastrum plus. Now, faith is actually not against the use of medicine or medications. You can use medications, and I'm not against medications. I was giving medications to people for a long time, stood in front of the counter, giving, even when they take over underdose, I say, take it on the dose. So I'm not against medications, but I'm saying that as believers, you can subscribe to something that is higher. Are you listening? Subscribe to something that's higher. So, we're still on scriptures. I said that's how our teaching is going to be. 27. This is Jesus. And beginning at what? Moses. So Jesus is teaching. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning what? Himself. So if he says, and begin at Moses, where is Moses? The law, from the beginning. Then he begins to explain. So it means that from Genesis to Malachi, who do we see clearly in the scriptures? Jesus. and his plan. Are you listening? Okay. So he began at Moses and all the prophets, he expanded unto them the things concerning himself. See John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Don't forget, the context of what we are speaking about is the temple and the fig tree. Right? That's his plan. John chapter 5, verses 39. John chapter 5, verses 39. He says, search the scriptures. Again, the use of the word scriptures there will mean Genesis to Malachi, right? For in them you think you have what? Eternal life. And they are they which what? Testify of what? Me. So the scriptures testify of him. See Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17, verses number 11. These were actually the Bereans. So in Acts 17, verse 11, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word of God with all what? Readiness of mind and what? Searched the scriptures daily. At that time, what they had was the Old Testament. So they searched it deeply, right? Go to the next chapter, 18, verses 22. I think that's enough emphasis on scriptures, I should believe. 18:24. And a certain Jew named what? Apollos, born of what? Alexandria, an eloquent what? Man, and mighty in the scriptures. He came to Ephesus. This was Apollos. He was mighty in the scriptures. He knew Genesis to Malachi very clearly. He could quote them. But he actually was not knowledgeable in the things of the Christ. He was only knowing the baptism of John. Let's read that in 25. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spoke and taught what? Diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. That reminds me, baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom Priscilla and Aquila had heard. They took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God, what? More perfectly. Verse 27. And when he was disposed and passed to Achaia, the brethren wrote exhorting the disciples to receive him when he was come, help them much with what he had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was what? The Christ. So we see that the entire scriptures, which is Genesis to what? Scriptures, Genesis to Malachi, right? Speaks of the things concerning what? Him. So, just as Jesus did in Luke 24, where he taught them from the beginning, which was from Moses, right? To all the prophets and all the Psalms, is what we're going to be doing concerning faith as well. We're now getting into the subject matter. So, all of these times, I was just helping us get it more clearly. So, if we're going to see the conversation of faith, we're going to see it where? From the scriptures. Then the scriptures are going to be the law, the prophets, then the Psalms, right? The prophets will be the minor, the major prophets, and the Psalms. Then we can now have a nice time in the Gospels or in the Epistles. And of course, there is no other way to see the conversation of faith like Genesis. So we move to Genesis 15. Do we have it clear up to this point? Now, don't forget, our conversation is from Mark 11, verses 22. Have faith in God. Then he now says, verily I say unto you, right? So, it was as touching what? God's plan, which he wanted to set in order when he saw a distorted Israel and a broken temple. Is that clear? Are you sure? Now, what that means is that still just helping you understand. What that means is that if we're going to see, if we saw that in Mark, Mark must have picked his emphasis from Genesis as well. We saw that last week. I showed you that Genesis, Matthew 1:1 in the beginning, Mark 1:1 in the beginning, right? Luke 1:1 in the beginning, right? So they all go back to the beginning because that's what Jesus did according to Luke 24. He took them, then he showed them from the law throughout the prophets, then the Psalms, the things that concerned himself. So Jesus was that kind of a teacher that taught things thoroughly. How many days did he do that? 40 days. So right from the beginning, that's why the 40 days, I think about them. Lord, how did you do the 40 days? Because even 40 days fasting and prayers in church is go and come, 6 p.m., go and come, 6 p.m., go and come. 40 days, that's 40 days. If I say 40 days in church, some of you will leave the church. See, that church, yeah. For 40 days. 40 days. No, we are going to somewhere we can get 2 days. No, you won't say that. So, you know, he starts to explain right from the beginning. So it means that if we're going to also do some good justice to our conversation on faith, we're going to look at that. Don't forget, Mark is going to pick those words intelligently. Do you see how I showed you the scripture where Jesus spoke about the stone and it being the chief cornerstone? But you see that he picks those exact words from the Psalms, which is from David's speech or David's songs. So the Bible is consistent in itself. Words are not just used. Right? Words are not just used. So if we see the word faith, it's just not going to fall like it just falls and he uses it in Mark. He's going to have to see it also because he had the scriptures. That's what Jesus did. He had the scriptures. So he picks the scriptures. Then he now says, have faith in God. What's faith? He must have read it in the scriptures, which is from Genesis to Malachi. Believe God. What is believe? What are you talking about, Jesus? What are you talking about? Believe God. What does it mean? Of course, it's going to be from the scriptures. Then he now says, verily, what does it mean? How can you say, have faith in God? Then he says, faithfully. That's quite some repetition. Have faith in God should be enough. Right? So, if he is going to be picking those, we'll have to go right from the beginning. Then we get to understand the entire subject on why he's saying that. Because he can't just wake up and use the fig tree as an illustration. Then right after the fig tree, then he enters, then he scatters everywhere in the temple. It means there's something he intends to say by his actions. And that's what brings in the clarity from Genesis, because Genesis helps us see what he is doing right from the beginning. So if we can see what he's doing right from the beginning, by the time we arrive at Mark, we will not be confused. What is temple? What is fig tree? What is Israel? Why is it barren? What does he want to do? Why is he so particular about things being set in order? And that's what we're going to see in Genesis 15. Now in Genesis 15, actually, it's actually the first time where we see somebody practically walk in faith and believe. Right? Are we clear? Genesis 15. Okay. Jesus taught from the beginning, right? So we also go to the beginning. Genesis 15, verse 1. And after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am what? Thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. We'll look at that probably in the next meeting. And Abraham said, Lord God, will thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Lord, will thou give me what? We're going to see that in verse 3. And Abraham said, behold to me, thou hast given me no seed. Thou hast given me no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Now again, the background that we're going to be seeing is the temple and the fig tree, which entails what God is doing in the earth and with his people. So God is saying, I'm going to give you seed. Then he says, but I don't have seed. I don't have it. I don't have it. I don't have it. I have no seed. Again, I'll repeat this. We're going to see his will for Israel, which is us today. So, what are you seeing? I'm going to give you the nations of the world. God, you said you give me the nations of the world, but I don't have even one seed. I don't have one seed. So what are you talking about, Lord? So, of course, before we now see that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, we're going to see it in Genesis 15, right? So, in verse 1, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying. So, the first say, right? Now, in verse 3. And Abraham said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. Can we read together as a church again? And Abraham said, behold to me, thou hast given no seed, verse 3, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So God's word comes to him in verse 1. Look at verse 4 again. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him. That's the second time. Do we have a witness? Before we now say, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, we're seeing it practically here. So, God's word comes to Abraham, number 1. Verse 4, the word of the Lord came unto him again, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Then he now says, and he brought him forth abroad and said, look now towards what? Heaven, and tell the stars. And if thou be able to number them, and he said unto them, so shall thy seed be. So, Abraham, the stars there, look at them. Would you be able to number them? Now that's an explanation of the supernatural. Right? Because, I mean, it's going to be quite supernatural if you can count them. But he's saying, look at the stars. Start counting. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 1 million. 2 million. 3 million. 4 million. Impossible. So, he's saying, believe me for the supernatural. Believe me for the supernatural. You know, many times, we always like to see things in the natural before we now believe. But I'm telling you, you cannot experience God and his plan without being supernatural. Impossible. Look now towards heaven and tell the stars If thou wilt be able to number them, and he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Now, and he, what? Verse 6, everyone. So, he looked at God, then he believed. What did he believe in? He believed in the word of God. In other words, he believed in the plan of God. That's what he believed in. How many times did God's word come to him? Twice. Establishing a witness, twice. But he believed in that. Now, the word believe there is the word aman, like we saw, verily. Right? Is the word aman, A-M-A, which means what? Amen. So, and we said the word believe there is the word what? Faithful or faithfully. Right? Faithful or faithfully. So, what was Abraham doing in verses 6? He believed in the will of God. He believed in God's plan for the earth. Was just God's plan just to get him having nations? Like people spread it all over the earth. Like, oh yeah, Abraham, I really like you. So, let me just give you seed, a lot of seed. No. Now, Abraham having a lot of seed will mean God has a lot of temples. Now, we are sons of Abraham. Father Abraham, that's what we are talking about. So, God is not talking about he just having a lot of people in the whole earth. It still communicates the temple and Israel, which is the fig tree. Then he now says, have faith in God. So he now comes right from the beginning again, and he's saying to Abraham, believe. Then he now says, and he did what? He believed. Now we said, the word believe, there's a word aman. It means faithful or faithfully. Now this is what it means. It means that Abraham believed in the faithfulness of God. Now listen, this will change your faith walk. Because whenever we talk about faith, people think it's some sort of mental stressful activity. Like, okay, right now. No. Before we now say faith is something you do, is to believe that God will do what he said he will do. And so he is faithful. So it's not so much about what you want and what you have. Is it his plan? Is it his will? Then he will be faithful to do what he says he will do. Is it clear? So, God is right from the beginning communicating to us how we can see faith in Abraham. He believed that God was faithful. When you go out to lay hands on the sick, it's not so much about the power you have. It's so much in about how faithful he is to making sure that his word spoken will come to pass. That's why faithful is he who has spoken it, and faithful is he that will bring it to pass, because he is true. That is what he is. So when you say God will show up and it's in his plan to show up, don't worry about him showing up or not, because he is going to be faithful to his word. Not so much about you, so much about him. When we say we're going to take the nations for him, is that his plan? What must we do? Believe God. Believe how? In his faithfulness. That his word is true. When he spoke to the fig tree, did it dry off immediately? But eventually what happened? It dried up. So, we may not see it happening. Oh, but we believe that he's faithful. So, Abraham, take your seats. Sits there and says, I believe God. You know, many of the times, because one reason why it's difficult for many people, and I got to realize that that's like very true. You know, it's like a natural worldly thing to say, let me use a typical example, like, where are you? Right now, I'm at Agbogba. I'm coming right now, right? What are you at, Kwashiman? Right? You are somewhere at Kwashiman. So, that's a lie, right? Someone says, I love you. You are the only person that I've ever known in my whole entire life. I will never forsake you. But he has other two sisters aside you. You know what? I sat in the trotro and then the mate collected some money. So I really didn't know how much it was, but I just said, it's not like this. So I turned to him, I said, is that a fare? And he said, that's the fare. I said, no, that's not a fare. So, you know, later he just put his hand in his pocket. When I said that's not a fare, he just put his hand in his pocket. You know, he waited for everybody to just die down, and then he just swayed it in my hand. He just swayed it there, like quietly, he just swayed it there. I said, hey, so if I didn't tell you that that was not it, you would have just taken my money away. I said, that's not it. So he just kept, and I knew the way I said, that's not it, and he kept quiet. And later he just swept, and I also just swept it quietly. And I put it in my pocket. So, you know, man is naturally dishonest. Doesn't tell the truth. If you don't train yourself, the way you will lie, you will not even identify yourself. You'll be looking into your pastor's face like this, but you are lying. Say, Pastor, that Ananias and Sapphira story is not true. It happened, or you don't know. We should tear that part out for you. Then she was gone. Then the other one came. Then she was gone. Then it was finished. So, Pastor, but it's not Old Testament. Yeah, I don't know, but that's what we have there. Huh? So don't lie. That's just all. So that we don't have to explain to you theologically what Ananias and Sapphira means, that God's great. No, just don't lie. So because we lie, nobody lies actually here. So because people lie, one of the things I hardly do is to lie. It's very difficult for me because my pastor sometimes called me and told me that if you tell lies, what you say will not come to pass. Because if you're at Kwashima, you say you're at OEB. It means that God cannot find you. He can't find you. Huh? He can't find you. Maybe God wants to meet you at Kwashima. You say you are OEB. Then God says, I have a blessing for you. But we don't know where you are. It's like, you know, someone says that, you know, I know of somebody. If the person says something, I'm telling you, believe directly opposite. I'm telling you. Yeah. If he says, go left, just begin to go right. Don't go left. Oh. If he says go left, don't go left. Just go right. You meet him at front. He said, I thought you had gone left. He said, no, I was led to go opposite your word. So normally, you see, man doesn't have any integrity. So before I started actually understanding God's integrity, right? I had to start saying, you need to take your own words seriously. Because when you say, I'm going to do this, and you do it, you expect God not to do less. That's why people who have an attitude or personality, a personality type, they sort of have high expectations of God. And it reflects in the anointing. Yes, it shows in the grace of God. Because if you say that, if they say that, you know, T.L. Osborne and his wife had a failed crusade to India. They went, you know, to preach the gospel, and then they couldn't convince the people that Jesus is Lord. So they came back to India. And then, you know, after the failed crusade, they got into a meeting where a great prophet was ministering. And they began to see the power of God in the way they had never seen it before. So they made a decision. They said to themselves, as spouses, they told themselves, they said, from today, we're going to take God at his word. Exactly. No doubting. Have you heard? No, maybe. Have you heard? No, no. What he says we can do, we're going to believe that he says we can do. And we're going to step out and do what he says we can do. So, they got out. I mean, T.L. Osborne was one of the greatest healing evangelists you could find. Yeah. Greatest not from a negative perspective, but remarkable miracle ministry. It's from there you have people inspired of him very strongly. Just can't mention their names, but I could have mentioned quite a number. The Archbishop Benson Idahosa had his very close, tight relationship with T.L. Osborne. So it's a rich heritage of faith. So, you know, see, so they went back to India and then they just began to pray for the sick. Now, how did someone say, how were you able to get that guy's ears working perfectly? It was not my, I just believed in the faithfulness of God. There's nothing spooky about it. There's nothing spooky about it. Just believe that God says, when I step out and I lay hands on the sick, I'm going to see them healed. Simple. So I put my hands there and I expect them to be healed. Can you expect that your provisions and your needs are going to be met? You don't need to find out how it's going to happen or when it's going to happen or what is going to happen. You just have that conviction that God is going to meet me at every point in time of my need. You go to the doctor. He gives you a report. What are you going to do with it? Or you call your bank manager. Say, check my funds for me. He mentions your funds. Say, boy. Boy, what did I use the money for? So you deducted January, deducted February, deducted March, April, May, June. Say, no, I thought I was just, boy, obi mbwamio. Are you going to believe God? What are you going to do? Now, I told you believe is more of a what? Is a verb. So you're going to act as though he has already done it. So this is Abraham, and he believes that God is faithful. He's not a man that he should lie. Yes, nor a son of man that he should change his mind concerning things. Whatever he says, if we can take him at his word, he will do. So this is Abraham believing in his faithfulness, not your power, no. His faithfulness. His faithfulness. His consistency. His dependability. He is consistent. You know, when I was getting into full-time ministry, I respect this very strongly. I went to a man of God and I said, of course, caution here, but still the same. So I went to him and I said, I think the Lord is laying on my heart to get into full-time ministry. And he said, looked at me quietly. He said, huh. You know, he said, Then he now said, nowadays, it's not really easy. So what is that? Listen to me. When anybody expresses their faith in God, never find yourself to be the one that inspires them to doubt God. Are you listening? Don't get in the way of someone's faith. At least we are faithful people. Faithful people. So don't be the one to always be the one that pokes and makes people feel it is never possible. You are never going to see it. But the funny thing is that I believed in the faithfulness of God. I believe in the faithfulness of God. See, I believe God. Some of you think, maybe when I tell you frugality, I believe God to the core, to the latter down. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes. So the message of frugality is not against your believing. No. It's just a wisdom to tell you how to keep what you have and not waste it. Because the difference between waste and handling it well. So, I said, I believe God. Now, the funny thing about Genesis 15 is that Abraham had never seen anything like this ever before. Now, you have heard of barren people not having to take seed. You have already seen somebody who is barren who has had a child before. But he had never seen it before. You know, Kayon calls it like an unqualified committer. He had never seen it before. Never experienced it before. Whether it was going to be possible, it's not. But even today that we've seen it before, if you tell a woman that is 100 years old, you're going to conceive. I mean, let's be serious. She'll tell you that. He said, baby, hang on. Huh? The old woman speaks tree. That's what I'm saying. Yeah, say. The Lord says, as you tell you, you're going to conceive. But they had never seen it before. Now, we have seen it before. Because at least we have this. But they did not have anything. Do you know that? All he had was the word of the Lord that came unto him. That's serious. That's all he had. You have a whole faith manual talking consistently about God's faithfulness to you, of his plan in Christ Jesus, redeeming the earth, which he fulfilled in his resurrection. Do you see that? So we can see his faithfulness in the resurrection, which he was looking forward to see. He's looking forward to see. But we see that he's risen. We see that he's alive today. He spoke of it consistently in his plan. On the third day I'll be resurrecting. And he did. That is his faithfulness. Take your seats. That's his faithfulness. So, what did he speak that he has not brought to pass? Nothing. But Abraham, hearing of God twice, says, Lord, I believe God. Don't forget, the conversation is his plan, right? Pay attention. His plan to see the whole earth covered. It means that, of course, he wants to have and to inhabit in these temples, which are men. That's the grand plan. But in that grand plan, okay, in that grand plan, there has to be quite some natural things to happen. Like a woman taking seed. Listen to me. In that grand plan of seeing you, which you are his temple, and to manifest his very own nature on the earth, there will be other challenges, like Sarah being 90 and not having to take seed. In that grand plan of him trying to save the earth is what we find Sarah in. So what am I saying? I'm trying to tell you that there are natural mishappenings that take place in that overall plan. Does he want you having the earth filled with his glory by the preaching and teaching of the gospel? Are you probably going to have a challenge in your job one day? All right. But is he going to use that as well to get you more stable enough for what he overall desires you to accomplish? Is that his will for your life? So we see Abraham, there's a grand plan. But then, what is needed for that grand plan, his wife doesn't have, which happens to be Sarah. On your way to the fulfillment of that grand plan, could you be sick in your body? But then what is his plan in that grand plan is to have you well so you will be able to fulfill that grand plan. Are you listening? So, Abraham, in Genesis chapter 15, is believing in the word of the Lord. He exercises and he expresses his faith in God. Which is to mean, he recklessly abandons himself in the word of God. If I could use that. He did what? He recklessly abandoned himself in the will of God. Now, something happens. You have no idea. His wife is 90 and plus. He himself is quite stricken. Then God now says, I'm still going to give you that. Now, let's be serious. I mean, at this stage or age, one person cannot even be the one. Even if I was going to give birth, Sarah was going to give birth every week, it was never going to be possible. Talk less than 9 months. Plus, she's also stricken. Her womb is dead. Cannot have a child. But here is God saying that I'm going to make it happen. So, verse 5, he brought him forth and said, look now towards heavens and tell the stars. I said that will mean, he said, look to me more in the supernatural. See what I'm doing in the supernatural. Because you will not be able to see what I'm doing if you don't look in the supernatural and you're going to be natural. Where are those funds going to come from? How are you going to pay those bills? That school fees, how is it going to be paid? You need to start believing in the supernatural. You need to start to believe in the supernatural. It means you have confidence that God is at work in a realm that your eyes cannot see. He's at work. You don't need to see him working. All we just know is that he's working.
We don't need to be able to see him working before we know he's working. We know he's what? He's working. So we always wait to say, Pastor, yes. See, the pain is gone. See, but last week, the pain was there, small one. No. It means you're looking to your senses to make meaning of what he's doing. You don't need to look to your senses. The realm of the supernatural is a realm where you do not see with your physical senses. Somebody say, I can't see him, but he's working. 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 Great. So, Abraham is saying, this thing is, I really can't see. I can't see. I can't see. But I believe God. I believe God. Now, see Genesis chapter 17, verses 10. God appears to him and gives him a very tough instruction. 17 verse 10. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be what? Shall be what? Now that's it. I mean, don't tell anybody I told you this, right? Let's be serious. We need a child here. You've not gotten it? We need a child. Then you now appear after you have promised me and promised me that I should go and cut somewhere that needs to be active in childbearing. It's very painful. Oh. That's why they do it to children. If you grow and they do it to you. You see something. Then God now says, go and do what I'm telling you to do. Me, I've seen some before. He was about 20. 20. 20. 22 or 23. Yeah. He brought him from there, from somewhere. They know. Let me see. Ash! That's what God is telling him to go and do. It's going to take you some weeks to heal, actually, before you now start performing. Because you know, Abraham just didn't say, Shabba, Shabbae, Kaba, Santolaba, Yababa, baby Kaba, ya. He had to go and do something with Sarah. And that's actually even difficult. Because all your libido is dead. I mean, by 100. Her womb is deadened. Everywhere is dead. Some of you, when you are going to give birth, you see, they'll say, she's dilating 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters. You know what dilation is? When you get there, you see, don't worry. Dilation 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters, 5 centimeters. Oh, she has hit 6 centimeters. We can now force her into, say, no, 2 is 2 centimeters, no labor. We have to induce. Oh, I see. But they didn't have all of these things. So some of you, when you're pregnant, you're thinking, well, woman, well, this. Well, woman. She didn't have well, woman. I mean, it's funny, but it's a very serious story. It's a very hard place to be. But do you know something? He believed God.
Then he goes. You know, some of you, God has told you, I'm going to use you. Your ministry is going to bless lives. You're going to reach a lot of music. Lord, when? Lord, when? No, you have an example. Now, Abraham being our father means he becomes that forerunner of the example of our faith walk. He becomes that perfect example. Father Abraham, he's that perfect example of faith. It's that perfect example of faith. When you go around and you see things messed up, what do you do? Do you know the Bible could have referenced him as the one that worried most on the earth? Because with your situation, you should worry. And with your situation, God should be a liar. Because it's practically impossible in the natural. How does that relate to you in your life today? What looks impossible? So, we're going to see Abraham's obedience as an expression of his belief and faith in God. So, he takes all of his servants and he goes to circumcise them. Now, what that means is that Abraham found God's word reliable on. And so he was going to abandon himself to believe God. Listen to me. It's God's plan for you that you walk in faith. It's not his plan for you. Remember, to have this plan that God wants to see, the earth filled with people and he's giving the whole nations to you, happening, it meant that Abraham had to walk in faith. If he didn't walk in faith, he was not going to see God's plan. Was he going to see it? He was not going to see it. Then at the end of the day, he's going to come and say, God is a liar. No. So, he was going to have to recklessly abandon himself and to believe God. Listen to this. Not only when things turned out well, he was going to believe God in spite and despite of Sarah's deadness and his old aged nature. I mean, Sarah's deadness of the womb. Now, was the womb dead? Her womb was dead. How then do you believe in a dead womb? Begin to think about the things that look like you need to build up your faith on. As I teach this, you're saying, Lord, I believe you. Lord, I believe you. Lord, I trust you. Though I don't see what is happening, where you're taking me to. Just like Abraham, he didn't know. He didn't know where God was taking him to. I mean, Lord, what are you doing? He says, I'm going to give you children that are going to be as numerous as the nations, as the stars of heaven. You're going to be great. Are you listening? Your life is not going to end the way you think it's going to end. Listen to me, believe God. Don't look at the naturals. Don't look at the naturals. You know, there are things in my life. I look at it and I say, Lord, I don't see from the natural. I'm not going to be looking on the natural. I'm going to be looking to you.
you're going to greatly excel. Your problem is that you looked so much in the natural. Who do I know? My father doesn't really know anyone. No. Like Abraham, you're going to believe his word. Say, I believe God. 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 You hear a negative report from home. You say, No. It's sorted. Your mom calls you from home, tells you, hey, things are bad. You may have to stop school. You say, mommy, I believe God. My needs are going to be met. Your needs are met. You look at your father's side, everybody is not doing well. Mother's side, total confusion everywhere. And it looks like your life is about to be an example of the next. You say, no, I cease to look at what I see. I believe God. And then you start to speak. Remember, God fulfilling and helping you in all of those natural things will be towards the fulfillment of his entire plan on the earth. You see, the doctor said this. But I believe God. I know I'm healed. I know I'm strong. I don't have help from anywhere. You say, no, the Lord is my help. I believe God. So, you're going to walk in that consciousness of faith. Like I said, from our first teaching, there are times where people become weary. It's like one battle after the other. One issue after the other. One thing after the other. One problem after the other. You look at your disciples. You say, don't run and, when are they going to multiply? When are they going to... No. Abraham saw the nations when he didn't have any sign of that practically impossible. But again, he was going to throw himself in God's arms recklessly and abandon himself to believe in God's word. So you're going to do the same. You start a business and it looks like people are not flowing as they should. You say, well, that business is working. That business is responding. And many people are coming to buy. I believe God. And you continue on that. Some of you might have to travel outside to other nations. It's probably one of the first times I say this on purpose. But you say, Lord, I believe you. Believe God. You get up. You see like a growth or pain or something in a part of your body. You say, no. I receive healing in my body. I look to the stars, which is I look to the supernatural, rather than see what I see in the natural. I look to that supernatural realm. And the word of the Lord comes to you and you say, Lord, I believe you. I believe. I believe. I believe God. See, there's so many problems around you. Why are you not showing it? Why are you not? You say, no. I look not to the unseen. I look not to the seen. For the things that are seen are much more temporal. They have no substance. But the things that are unseen are more real. So I believe God. Just as he was faithful to his word, faithful to Abraham, faithful to the fulfillment of his promise, this God is going to be faithful to me. So it's not so much about me. I've recklessly abandoned myself. You know, when you recklessly abandon yourself, you begin to speak carelessly. People think you're not okay. Because you see God's plan and you know what he wants. He doesn't want chaos. He doesn't want disorder. He doesn't want confusion. He doesn't want lack. No. He wants you to have plenty. You say, I believe God. 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 Listen to me. You will have to build faith-filled environments around you. Are you listening? Allow nobody bringing doubt into your space. Don't allow anyone bringing doubt into your space. People that talk you down, that talk against the plan of God for your life, that talk against the very things that you believe. You say, I believe God. You know, one time I told my dad, I said, Daddy, I believe God. I believe God. I said, we're taking this nation for Jesus. He says, how? Who do you know? And what are you talking about? I said, I believe God. I said, I believe God. You know, one time he asked me, he said, you know, you guys must look for a land. And he said, where are you going to get it from? I said, we have a land already. Then he said, so where is it? He was asking like a natural man. So where is it? I said, I believe God. He said, do you have it? I said, yeah, we have it already. So who gave it to you? I said, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. That's how you can speak about him in your life. Listen to me. Like Abraham, you're going to be full of faith. Go ahead and pray in the spirit. 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 Shote prete ki shprata kapala bashete ke poroto pose. Lord, from these teachings, I repent. I'm sorry I doubted you. I'm going to hold on to your word. I'm going to hold on to your word. I'm going to hold on to your word because I believe you. And I'm going to express it because he that believeth shall not doubt. He will not make haste. I will not be jittery any longer concerning your plan. I'm going to walk. Walk in it. Shaketeketeketish. Prataka palaba jata parakatele vegevosa. Shikintoso, popenkisha, bratustava, baratege. Shigedegadisa talabra satalaba regadese. Shatatatatata, ratatata, jatapa. Mantos, kibrate, zizeste, protocoso. Brantequila, Jetekebo, Ratatatapai, Ziantolomoso, Brande Ketan, Tiedano, Soprate, Jatatatakapa, Lepro, Zetekepa. Now, I said this last week. And I said, faith is expressed, or actions of beliefs are expressed, where the will of God is known. So when you know what the will of God is, you're able to stand your ground. Are you listening? You're able to stand your ground. You're able to stand your ground and say, oh, I believe God. God does not want lack, so I wouldn't lack. You know, one time I was on campus, and I share the story fondly because it blesses me every time I think about it. Feels like it's little, but it blesses me. And you know, those times on campus where you're just low, you've already taken money, you have gone here and there, you have finished the money, you are here and there. So I was in my room, and I had prayed. And it was time for me to break my fast. So I said, Lord, I'm not going to just call anyone. I'm just going to believe you. I still fondly remember that story today. I'm just going to believe. And at that time, there was nobody on campus. There was nobody. I had stayed in school for close to 3 months before I left home, my final year. There was nobody, no single person on campus. So I was in the room. 6 p.m. came. 7 p.m., 8 p.m., between 6:30 or maybe 6:30 and 7:30. I was just there and I said, Lord, I'm just going to hold you by your word. So I was there. And somebody came knocking on my door. So I got out of the room. And here's a gentleman with a broad smile and said, oh, I had just been around and I'd been seeing you around. But when I was coming back to campus, I just felt like buying you food. Just felt like buying you food. So I looked at him. And I smiled. I never said anything. I just smiled at him. And I said, thank you. And I took it back into my room. You know, that small sort of act, I can tell you, I've been on it for years. Because it was amazing. I mean, he just wakes up and comes here. When I was coming, listen to me, what happened was that God had already made provisions for me long before I had already asked for it. Yet it was going to take, of course, my faith to receive what he had already planned for me. What Abraham needed to receive, he had already planned for him. He already chose Abraham and said, I'll make you a father of all nations. But Abraham, you will have to walk in faith to see that plan come to pass. Listen to me. All that God has said for your life will take faith. It'll take faith. It'll take faith. It'll take faith. When you get into spaces, you say, I have that place. Yeah. I'll be able to pay for that when the time comes. And remember, it's not about your emotions. It's not about how you feel. It's just walking in the fact that you know, that you know, that you know that that is the plan of God. So you say, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. Say it with some more conviction. I believe God. Yeah, that's better. I believe God. Say, I believe God. How is that money going to come? What did that doctor say? What is the doctor saying? Your response is going to be what?
I believe God.
I believe God. It's not going to be so much about you. It's going to be about his faithfulness. He is faithful. He's faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is faithful. Now remember, he told Abraham in chapter 15, verse 1, I am going to be thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. You know, I believe Abraham's faith was strengthened because he knew he had God on his side. That was all. So, irrespective of how long it took, he knew that God was with him. Listen to me. God is with you. And it doesn't matter how long it's going to take. It doesn't matter how failed it looks like. Listen to me. He's a God that can get into it and recreate the mess. That's the kind of God we're talking about. So he's not afraid of your mess. He's not afraid of the things that did not happen when you expected them to happen. Listen to me. Your great conviction is that he is faithful, number one. And he's giving himself to you. That's his plan. He's with Abraham, walking with Abraham in the fulfillment of his overall plan in the earth. So he's faithful forevermore. God is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. I said he's faithful. Lift up your hands. You're going to speak. Lift up your hands. Father, we thank you. Just do this quickly. Father, thank you for your grace. And thank you for your word. We praise you. What you're doing. We believe we are with you and you are with us in seeing your plan come to pass for our lives and for our ministries. You know, the Lord says, I should tell you, you're not alone. He says, I should tell you, there's help for you. That's what he says, I should tell you. He says, there's help for you.
There's help for me.
Hear the word of the Lord. There's help.
There's help for me.
Just lift up your hands in unknown places.
There's help for me. There's help for me.
Help in unknown places. It's coming to you. There's help for you.
There's help for me.
I don't know if there's...
people,
of course.
Thank you, Lord.
There's help for you.
There's help for me.
There's help for you.
There's help for me.
So what are you going to do? You're going to be like Abraham. Believe the plan of God. Now, it is the plan of God and it is his will. Before I go, for you to be in faith. Are you listening?
Yes, please, Pastor.
The moment you're out of faith, he cannot bring his plan to pass. So you need to be with him. Believing, because we're going to see that in maybe next week, saying, speaking, prayer, and forgiving, because those are the attributes of our faith. In the name of Jesus.